The message I'd like to talk to you about today is called Consequences. And as we go more and more through this message, we're going to really see why life, all of our decisions in life, are important to us. We either have good consequences or we can have very adverse and negative consequences from decisions we make. But the scripture I'm going to share with you today, if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, or your electronic devices that you use for a Bible. I intentionally turned mine off. I didn't want it talking and overshadowing me during the message like it did not too long ago. As Jesus gave the Olivet Discourses, a lot of theologians divided it up into segments, and this is technically, the fifth discourse. I'm going to make an apology ahead of time, one time. If some of my vocal speech today, is a little fuzzy to you, it's the fault of Special K. I had a new box of cereal I was opening. And you know how that you want to pull the plastic apart so you can pour the cereal out. Well, as I was pulling this plastic apart, it was really giving me a little trouble. So I grinched my teeth and I broke my bridge completely off. And when the doctor looked at that, he says it's not repairable, that you're going to have a new major upper plate bridge put on posts and the whole $5,000-$10,000 thing. So I'm operating without some of the normal teeth that I would use for speech. There. That's done. Fortunately, I have a mustache. And it covers it up quite well. In fact, if I hadn't, if I tell people, they said, "Well, I didn't even notice." I'm glad. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did this to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those on the left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we not minister to you? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick and in prison and not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. Decisions. They have consequences both here on earth and in eternity. And this message today is as much for me as it is for you. You see, if I could help one person here from making even one bad decision, this message will have been worth it. I'll share with you, when I was 13 years old, and we lived on and farmed in southern Idaho, raised mostly alfalfa hay and potatoes and wheat and sugar beets. And then we had a dairy farm. But we irrigated our crops with ditches and siphon tubes. Some of you will know what that is. And to carry these siphon tubes around was really a problem because ditches were long and fields were long. And so my dad bought me my first vehicle, a 1932 Diamond T pickup, so that I could haul my siphon tubes around. Well, I had finished my field work one day, and I was going to decide, I decided to see how fast this vehicle would go. So I got up on a BLM ditch bank road, and it was pretty high, and I opened her up. And the thing went pretty good till I came to the corner. And I didn't make the corner. I rolled this pickup over and over. And it crushed the top of the pickup down, broke where the window was. You had about this much to see out of. So when I got the pickup home, rather than get extremely angry with me, my dad just said, well, live with it. So from then on, as I drove around to haul my siphon tubes, I had to scrunch down and look out this little window. Bad decision. And I got to pay the consequences for that. You know, what we eat, how we live, they have lasting impacts on our bodies. I'm a living proof of that. It's amazing we make even unconscious decisions constantly. And those decisions all have consequences. Some decisions have great or good consequences. Salvation is a free gift of God, a gift of God's grace. And it's a monumental decision that affects us for eternity. We must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God, that he paid the price for our sins on that cross, that he died and rose again. That's the first step. But there are some other steps. If you read Scripture carefully, that's not the end of it. After you believe, Jesus said, repent. Repent. A lot of people consider that a biblical word. It's a simple word. It just means turn around and go the other way. What you were doing, abandon that and go on the right path. And then there's the harder one. Jesus said, follow. Follow me. You see, I'm a firm believer in the sinner's prayer. I think it's wonderful. But I feel a lot of times people are led to believe that's all they have to do. Pray the prayer, I'm good, Okay. No, there were other parts. Repentance and follow. Jesus said, you must repent and follow him. He also said in John 15:14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Wow. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Did Jesus give us a lot of commandments and rules? No, but he also said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it, and that not one jot or tittle would pass from the law. So the law was still there to guide us and direct us, and actually to drive us to him. But he gave several commandments in the Gospels, and we're going to deal with 8 of those commandments. And I believe the decision to obey these commandments will have very important consequences. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12:30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Did he love us? Rhetorical question. He loved us immeasurably, more than we can really understand. So much so that when we were separated by God from sin, and we were still sinners in our sin, he went to the cross. He became the propitiation of our sins. He died for us on that cross to satisfy the righteous requirement of the law that required blood as an atonement for sin. And he did it once and for all. His last words on the cross were, it's finished. Sometimes it's hard for us to really understand. It's finished. He paid the price. You are justified, just as though you had never sinned. Number 2. Love your neighbor as yourself. Think of the scripture in Matthew 25. That scripture not only talks about loving God, but it talks about how you treat and love other people. Some people are, and I will admit, quite unlovable. Love them anyway. In Sunday school this morning, Kevin talked about someone who comes into, like, let's say a shop, and they're cantankerous and just nasty. And how we respond to that person. And he made an interesting statement. We don't know what kind of day. They may have just gone through a terrible divorce, lost a child. We don't know what has happened to them. So how we treat them should be as Jesus would treat them. Because technically, the church here on this earth are his hands and his feet. And the best way we can show that is by loving each other. In Mark 12:31, it says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Love your God, love your neighbor. When Joy and I were living in Billings, we were in a very stressful job, managing a very large independent living retirement center. And we developed such a bond with all of these residents. When they were hurting, we were hurting. So it created stress in us. But we used to go home, go into our apartment in the evening after our time was off and our co-managers took over. And we'd go over and get a pizza across the way or shrimp and lettuce and watch geyser videos to just calm down and relax. One of those videos had a song that really struck a chord in me called Loving God, Loving Each Other. And I thought, you know, that kind of boils everything down to that statement from the Bible. Love your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Number three is, and I'll admit, this is very hard for me sometimes, and right now is one of those times. Pray for your enemies. The evil in this world is rampant. And our culture is becoming more and more hostile to Christians. We are literally the enemy of Satan. He's going to do everything possible to try to destroy us. Think about this. When a building is condemned, soon they bring in, if it's big enough, the wrecking ball. And they demolish that building. Well, Satan is a wrecking ball. And we are the building. We are the church of God, the church of Christ. And he'd like nothing better than to destroy us. So it's difficult sometimes to pray for our enemies. You see, governments can't save us. Change of administration will not save us as a nation. Only Jesus can save us. That's it. We have no other hope. But we do have him. He is our hope. And he told us to pray for our enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, spitefully use you. And I know that is sometimes very difficult to do. Sometimes I find it hard to find the words to pray for enemies like some of the people in the Mideast, China, Russia. But that's what we're supposed to do. Pray that God would change their hearts, guide them on to a path of righteousness, compassion. Number four, whoops, there's that word again. Repent. In Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I lived a pretty rough and sinful life. But I look back, and where I am now is 180 degrees different from where I was. In the movie Chosen, the Pharisee came and asked Mary Magdalene, who he had seen earlier and now saw her in a different way. He says, did something I do help you? She said, no, it wasn't you. He said, what happened? She says, well, I was one way, and now I am a different way. And what happened in between was him, with a capital H. She had made that turn. She had made the turn because of Jesus. And I so thank God that happened to me. I would dread to think of where I would be this day if that hadn't happened. Number five, believe that Jesus is in the Father. Wow. Jesus said in John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Jesus is in the Father, and if we are in Christ, what position does that put us in? We should weigh heavily every decision we make, because we are part of Christ. Everything we do, everything we say is an example, okay, of Him. We represent Him. We are in Christ, and we are in the Father. Okay. Number 6, take up your cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I'll ask another rhetorical question. Does anybody here enjoy suffering? If you raise your hand to that one, I want to talk to you afterwards. You have a problem. None of us enjoy suffering. Whatever that form that suffering may take. But will we ever experience the suffering that Jesus did? To be scourged and beaten beyond recognition, to have a crown of thorns crushed down around our skull, to carry a wooden cross to a hill called Calvary, and then to be nailed to that cross, to suffer that excruciating pain and to die. Oh, but 3 days later, magnificence, gloriousness happened. But we're to do the same thing. We're to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Whatever that entails for you personally. And this is one I think a lot of us struggle with a little bit. Jesus said, go and make disciples. In Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you share Christ with someone, you help them make a decision that will have eternal consequences. Even if that's sharing with your own family, your children, your grandchildren, a co-worker, a stranger you've never met. But once you have shared that, it's also your responsibility to show them what are the next steps. What should they do? Okay. They're new in Christ. That guidance is called discipleship. And number 8, pray. I don't think I'm there yet. There we go. Pray always. Luke 18:1 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Kevin and I were talking this morning and talking about times in our lives, him with a heart attack and me with the last 2 years of challenging valleys, about how easy it is to come close to losing heart. The other day, as I got out of the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, by the way, one more and I get a certificate, a diver's certificate. And that'll be Monday. Hopefully that's the last one. But we were talking about how health concerns can sometimes really drive us down. And a few days ago, I came home and I was in tears all the way home. I got home and I shared with Joy how I felt. And she said something that was so powerful to me because I think I had lost focus of the fact that Jesus told us, concentrate on today. Today, not tomorrow, because today has enough troubles of its own. Don't take on the troubles of today for tomorrow. Don't deal with the troubles of the past. It's today. And she said, remember one day at a time. We can handle that because the things that we can't handle during that day, He will. He'll handle those for us. So if you focus on that, what can you do today? It makes it a lot easier to bear. When God created this earth, it was perfect. Created the animals, all of the earth, all of the stars, the universe, everything was perfect. And then He said, let us make man in our image, our image. And He made man. He made the first man, Adam. And Eve, He brought forth from Adam's rib. But they broke His law. A simple law. One law was all I could read in the Bible that He gave them. Well, He did tell them to go forth and be fruitful. They didn't seem to have trouble with that one. But they broke His law and they created sin. Sin had to be atoned for because sin separates us from God. In fact, it creates a chasm that we cannot bridge. But God, out of His love, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to live as a human being, fully man but fully God. And He came and became the price for our sin. His blood was shed so we could be washed as white as snow, that we could be sanctified and justified. And so that gap between us and God got bridged. The greatest decision that we can ever make is to believe, repent, and follow. To accept that sacrifice for our sins. To ask Him to forgive us. We needed a Savior, and Jesus was that Savior. When you make that commitment, you become a son of the King, a daughter of the King, a child of God. And your inheritance is secure. The consequence of that decision is eternal. That consequence is great. But when you decide not to accept, the consequence of that sin is a total disaster. Eternal separation, suffering in a place called hell, a place that was reserved for Satan and his angels. There was a young man who was invited to a youth group. And he went, and he heard a wonderful lesson. And this youth pastor who was giving the lesson also gave a salvation message. And his friend who invited him said, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he says, I need to think about it. Maybe tomorrow. On his way home from that youth group meeting, he was in a car accident and lost his life. The lesson there is we aren't promised tomorrow. When you hear the truth, accept it. Make that decision immediately. You don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. And tomorrow could very well be too late. There it is. The things of this world will perish. Cars rust, buildings fall down, people die. There's nothing permanent in this world. But the only thing that will remain will be your relationship with Jesus Christ. And it will be the greatest decision you have ever made or will ever make. The decision to spend eternity with God, with Jesus in heaven. That's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And not to decide is a decision. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, I pray that you will make that decision. If you'd like to see me after the service, I can guide you into how to fulfill that decision. Toddie.